This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
This message is part 7 of our 8-part series titled Christianity versus Mormonism. We are presenting this series for two reasons. The first is that many Bible-believing Christians are not aware of the pagan nature of Mormonism. The second reason is that in recent years, we have seen a growing lack of discernment about the true nature of Mormonism, even among men who are leaders in the nominally evangelical church. These men bear a great responsibility before God because of their positions of spiritual oversight in the church. We have seen leading men who call themselves evangelical Christians promote the idea that Christians and Mormons can and should work together in spiritual causes. But that is the same as saying that Christians and pagans can work together in spiritual causes. And worse yet, we have seen some self-described evangelical leaders actually embrace Mormonism as a legitimate branch of Christianity. This lack of spiritual discernment is appalling and alarming. God has called upon His people to exercise spiritual discernment. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18 tells us that the true people of God will be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. Our theme verse for this series, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, commands God's people, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We must exercise discernment. We must test the spirits. This raises another very important question. Who can test the spirits? Who is able to do this according to the Word of God? The answer is that only an individual who is truly a regenerated believer in Christ, only a person who is therefore indwelled by the Holy Spirit, can exercise true spiritual discernment. An individual who is not a believer does not have this discernment and indeed cannot have it. Why is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 gives us the answer. There we read that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the unsaved man, is incapable of making proper judgments, discerning judgments, about spiritual things. The man who does not have the indwelling Spirit of God, who does not place himself in subjection to the Word of God, cannot test the spirits. He cannot make sound judgments about these things. He cannot properly decide what to accept and what to reject. These things are spiritually discerned, and the unsaved individual has no spiritual discernment. He is incapable of it. Well, that is the negative, but let us put the same thing in the positive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 is telling us that the teachings of a cult like Mormonism can be properly evaluated and judged by an individual who has God the Holy Spirit living within him and who makes use of the Spirit-inspired Word of God, which is the authoritative resource that God has given us to make these judgments. Now, why is this so important? For two reasons. First, dear friend, think of these things as you listen to and read the statements of so-called evangelical leaders who are saying that we must not talk about Mormonism as a cult and that we must have a give-and-take dialogue with pagan Mormonism about matters of doctrine. When someone who claims to be a Bible believer says such things, we must ask serious questions. Does that kind of thinking come from a truly regenerated heart? Is this the voice of spiritual discernment? Is this the voice of men who are truly saved, who truly have the Spirit of God living within them. Dear friends, I fear for the souls of the so-called evangelical leaders who want to make spiritual compromises with pagan Mormonism. I say to you on the authority of the Word of God that a man who claims to be a preacher of the gospel cannot persist in this kind of deep compromise if he is truly saved. Spiritual discernment is an evidence of salvation and of growth in Christ. Lack of spiritual discernment is evidence of the opposite. Many people seem to be afraid to say this today, but we must say it, because God's Word says it. And secondly, I'm saying all of this because it is biblically right and proper that true believers in Christ should reject men who persist in these things. No matter what titles they may hold in the church or in a seminary, no matter what claims they may make about their relationship to Christ. In fact, Scripture makes it clear that God from time to time brings things like Mormonism into contact with the visible church in order to test us, in order to show who is truly His and who is not. What will we do? Will we remain true to Christ and His Word, or will we follow the opinions of men, fallen men? It is biblically right and proper for those who exercise spiritual discernment to recognize men who persist in such compromises with unbelief for what they truly are. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul called such men savage wolves. He warned the Ephesian elders about them. He said, "Some of these men will even come from among your own numbers, not from outside the visible church, but from within it. They will be people you once thought were believers, but now they are proving they are not." And so Paul said, Acts chapter 20, verse 31, that we must be watchful. And the force of the word "watch" in that verse is this: take heed to what is being said and done even within the church, because if you are not watchful, you run the risk that spiritual calamity will overtake the church. Dear friend, for the sake of your own soul, for your family, and for your church, you cannot afford to fail the test of watchfulness. And so today, let us continue to be watchful as we ask one final critical question about Mormonism. What do Mormons teach about salvation? According to Mormonism, how is an individual made right with God? What is eternal life according to Mormon teaching? And how does man obtain it? As we begin to answer that question, let me call your attention to the official name of the Mormon Church. It is, they say, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But we have fully demonstrated that the first part of this name is a falsehood. Mormonism's use of the name of Christ in its official title is a fraud. Why? Because the being they call Jesus Christ is in fact a pagan counterfeit of the true Christ. The Mormons are among the many who Jesus said will stand before him at the last judgment and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name?" But Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me." And they will be cast into hell for eternity. But let me also call your attention to the last part of the official name of the Mormon religion. They call themselves Latter-day Saints. Why do Mormons call themselves by this name? What do they mean when they speak of themselves as Latter-day Saints? Mormons call themselves the Latter-day Saints because they believe that God has given them a new revelation, a latter-day revelation. That so-called revelation is not to be found in the Bible. It is found only in the books that the Mormons have composed over the past 180 years, books that they have placed in authority over the Bible. In the earlier messages of this series, we have seen that this so-called latter-day revelation strongly contradicts Holy Scripture. And often we find that different parts of this so-called revelation contradict each other. But today some men are telling us that Bible-believing Christians should ignore these facts. Don't call Mormonism a cult. Enter into a give-and-take dialogue with Mormonism Never mind the fact that the so-called Mormon revelation completely contradicts the Bible. Never mind the fact that the Mormons' gods are pagan deities and not the one true and living God of the Bible. Never mind the fact that the being they call Jesus Christ is not the Christ of the Bible. Mormons claim they are Christians, and so some men are saying we should ignore all the evidence and accept that claim. And so we find that many in the nominally evangelical church are being deceived into believing that somehow Mormons are Christians. But Mormons claim that they are the Latter-day Saints of God because they have embraced a false gospel that condemns and does not save. How is an individual saved according to Mormonism? How does a person gain eternal life according to their teachings? Now, this is another area in which Mormon teaching is incredibly complex and self-contradictory. But once again, as we have seen before, you do not need to become an expert in all of those details in order to understand that Mormonism is false and that it leads souls to damnation. You only need to know four essential facts about Mormonism to understand that it offers a false gospel. Four essential facts. Fact number one, Mormonism denies that the blood of Jesus Christ atones for sin. In the 19th century, Mormon prophet Brigham Young said this, and I quote, "There is not a man or woman who violates the covenants made with God who will not be required to pay the debt. The blood of Christ will never wipe that out. Your blood, your own blood, must atone for it. Every man and woman will have to atone for breaking their covenants," unquote. And in the late 20th century, Mormon prophet Bruce McConkie wrote this, and I'm quoting again, "Christians speak often of the blood of Christ and its cleansing power. Much that is believed and taught on this subject, however, is such utter nonsense and so palpably false that to believe it is to lose one's salvation. Many go so far, for instance, as to believe that if we confess Christ with our lips and avow that we accept Him as our personal Savior, we are thereby saved. His blood, without any other act than mere belief, they say, makes us clean." Mormon prophets Brigham Young and Bruce McConkie say that this is utter nonsense, palpably false. But what does the Word of God say? Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 9. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The sense of the original Greek is that Christ's blood cleanses the believer from all sin without any exception. But Mormonism denies this. That is fact number one about Mormonism's false doctrine of salvation. This brings us to fact number two. Mormonism teaches that each individual must atone for his own sin. We have already seen this in the statement of Brigham Young. Bruce McConkie states that the reason Jesus died was to ensure the bodily resurrection of all men, not to atone for sin. Mormonism teaches that a man atones for his sin by good works, and that this atonement for sin will continue even after the resurrection of all men from the dead. But what does Scripture say? Titus chapter 3 tells us that salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy God saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This brings us to two additional facts about the false gospel of Mormonism. Fact number three is that Mormonism teaches universal salvation. And fact number four is that Mormonism also teaches three degrees of salvation, the highest degree being the attainment of godhood by Mormon men who live in the greatest degree of conformity to Mormon teachings. We need to consider these two facts together, because in Mormon theology they are closely intertwined. Fact number three is that Mormonism teaches that virtually all people will be saved. And we need to put the word saved in quotes. They will be saved, according to Mormonism, in a three-level heaven. Now, first of all, we must point out that Scripture teaches no such thing. There are no levels in the new heavens and new earth, according to Scripture. There are no second or third class citizens in the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 2, and many other scriptures declare that there is no difference, that there is one body in Christ, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. But Mormonism contradicts these plain statements of God's Word. Mormonism teaches a three-level salvation. The first level of this so-called salvation, according to Mormonism, and I'm quoting their book called Mormon Doctrine, will be for those who have, quote, been liars and thieves, sorcerers and adulterers, blasphemers and murderers. But what does Scripture say? Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 declares that the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is no salvation for those who remain in their sins without repentance and faith in Christ. But Mormonism denies this. Mormonism says that these people will be saved, but they will be third-class citizens in the kingdom of God. The second level of so-called salvation, according to Mormonism, will be inhabited by those who were Christians but did not accept the Mormon message, and also Mormons who did not live up to the church's teachings, and also those they call men of goodwill of other religions. This is universalism. This is the false teaching that all roads lead to God. But what does Scripture say? Jesus declared, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 9 declares, Nor is there salvation in any other besides Jesus Christ and Him crucified, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, Jesus said, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way, that is, confined or constrained is the way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But Mormonism denies this. Mormonism says that those who reject Christ will be included in this second level of so-called salvation, along with all nominal Christians who are not Mormons, as well as nominal Mormons, people who have joined the cult but have not closely obeyed Mormon teachings. The third or highest level of so-called salvation, according to Mormonism, will be what they call the celestial heaven. They teach that faithful Mormon men who have undergone a so-called celestial marriage ceremony at a Mormon temple during this life, can grow into godhood by further good works in the next life. They teach that each man will have his own planet to populate. Let me also mention that people who have undergone so-called celestial marriage and have later left Mormonism have testified that this ceremony is pagan to the very core. Dear friend, the issue of where you will spend eternity is not works, it is belief. Belief in the true Christ of the Bible and in His finished work on the cross. Faith alone saves a sinner. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18. So here is a summary of what we have seen today. The Mormon definition of a saint is false because their definition of the way of salvation is false. Mormonism's gospel is a false gospel. But let us not leave things there. Let us go on to the positive statements of God's Word. What is the true gospel? More specifically, what is the true definition of a saint according to God's Word? The Apostle Paul gives the definition of a saint at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. He writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The single criterion that qualifies someone for the title of saint is saving faith in Jesus Christ. The word that is translated saint means holy one or set apart one. Those who are the saints of God stand holy before God, not because of their own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed to them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 tells us that the saints are those who have been sanctified, set apart by God for eternity through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. These are the true saints of God. No one but God in Christ can confer that title. And the condition of becoming a saint of God is nothing more or less than faith in the substitutionary atoning work of Jesus Christ, apart from any past, present, or future works of our own. Dear friend, if you, by God's grace, are trusting by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, then the Word of God says that you are a saint. And as a saint, you are qualified to partake in the glorious inheritance of the riches that are in Christ Jesus, both now and in the life to come. God's Word says that you are going to inherit the new heavens and the new earth as your eternal dwelling place with Him. And as a saint of God, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit as the down payment, the guarantee of that future inheritance. And dear friend, if you are truly a saint of God, saved by faith in Christ alone, it should be your heart's desire to see those who have been caught up in the lies of Mormonism also come to that same true saving faith in Christ. They are in darkness. They are on their way to a Christless eternity in hell. It should be your desire to see them come to the light. And so this leads us to the last question we are going to ask in this series, and this question will be the subject of our final message. How should a Bible-believing Christian witness to a Mormon? I hope you will join us once again as we look to the Word of God for the answer.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, this is the seventh message of an eight-part series titled Christianity versus Mormonism. We're making the entire series of messages available on MP3 CD, and we would be happy to send a copy to you. Here's how to receive your free copy of Christianity versus Mormonism on MP3 CD. Listeners in North America can call us toll-free 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. You can also request your free copy of Christianity versus Mormonism on MP3 CD by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org. Just click the contact link on our homepage and let us know that you would like to receive this resource. Once again, to request your copy of Christianity versus Mormonism on MP3 CD, you can go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the contact link on our homepage. Or you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. If you would like to give a gift to help support this worldwide ministry, you can do that by sending your check to our mailing address, or you can give a gift online at our secure website by credit card. Just click the support link at our website, teachingtheword.org. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll join us next time for our final message in this series titled, How to Witness to a Mormon. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.